Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello there and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Cheka Hislop here with you in the studio. We've got lots of football to talk about. We have Napoli taking on Barcelona in the Europa League. Also the game between Arsenal and Wolves in that top four battle in the Premier League. But we must start with UEFA's statement reacting to Russia's invasion on Ukraine today. UEFA said they share the international community's significant concern for the security situation developing in Europe and strongly condemns the ongoing military invasion in Ukraine. As a governing body of European football, UEFA is working tirelessly to develop and promote football according to common European values such as peace and respect for human rights in the spirit of the Olympic Charter. We remain resolute in our solidarity with the football community in Ukraine and stand ready to extend our hand to the Ukrainian people. We are dealing with this situation with the utmost seriousness and urgency. Decisions will be taken by the UEFA Executive Committee and announced on Friday. Jules Laron is joining us now. Jules, we'd just like to talk about the impact of Russia's attack on Ukraine and what it means and what we know so far in football matters.
Yeah, it's a really good debate really to have and subject to address, Kate, because as we know, for example, the facts are that, for example, the Ukrainian league has been suspended for at least 30 days, so no more games for the likes of Shakhtar Donetsk and Dynamo Kiev and all those teams in their league. We saw the Brazilian players, by the way, of those two clubs meeting and being all together and making a video saying they wanted to go home and to be able to leave Ukraine and not being in Ukraine during the invasion of the country by Russia. Now we're waiting on UEFA, of course, and on FIFA and see what they're doing. There's a lot of things they can do, of course, in terms of sanctions. I think a lot of people expect them to be quite tough and should be tough. Gazprom, as we know, is a big sponsor of the Champions League, for example, of the Europa League. It's a big sponsor for Schalke, who today the German club decided to take off the Gazprom sponsor off their shirt. Gazprom, as we know, is very close to the President Putin in Russia. What are UEFA going to do with Gazprom, for example? What are they going to do for the World Cup qualifiers and the playoffs? Russia and Ukraine are both involved in those playoffs. One play against Scotland, the other one against Poland, and then potentially in the final of the playoff as well. Can those games happen? Should those games happen? Should Russia be allowed to play those games? What about their clubs? We saw Zenit playing and being knocked out tonight by Betis, being allowed to play with Gazprom on their shirt as well. What should happen to Spartak, who've qualified already for the next round of the Europa League? So all those questions, UEFA will have to address them very quickly. And again, I have to repeat, a lot of people expect them to take tough sanctions towards the Russian clubs and Russia football in general.
And obviously that includes the Champions League final venue, Jules.
Yeah, which is the other big one, of course. This one seems already pretty much agreed that there's nowhere St. Petersburg, who is supposed to organize the Champions League, to host the Champions League final on May 28th, will be allowed to do so. It's very much expected from UEFA, and certainly sources have told ESPN that they're looking at another venue. It should not be Wembley, that Wembley is not considered as a potential venue for this Champions League final this season. More Madrid, Lisbon, Amsterdam, Paris, Milan. I mean, there's a lot of cities who filled all the criteria of what UEFA want for a Champions League host for the final, of course. But it looks very, very unlikely right now that St. Petersburg and Russia will be allowed to have the Champions League final.
Thanks so much, Jules. We will be reacting to UEFA's meeting on tomorrow's show. Let's get you caught up on Europa League action now of these two teams. It's a bit of a surprise, isn't it, this season to see them there. Napoli 2, Barcelona 4 on the night. Remember, they came into it 1-1. It was finally poised, but it was Barcelona who came through in this one. Jordi Alba opening the scoring. We also saw Frankie de Jong on the score sheet, 2 PK and Aubameyang. The goals for Napoli coming from Insigne from the spot and Politano as well. Barcelona advancing 5-3 on aggregate as we now welcome in Ale Moreno as well to join us to talk more about this. And Ale, and Frank Leboeuf as well, we've got Frank with us too. Ale, I want to start with you though, because at times in this game, Barcelona against Napoli, we did see some of the best of Barcelona, didn't we?
Three words for UK and Shaq. January transfer window. Barcelona killed it in the transfer window. They did. It's simple as that. When you think about all the goals and how they happened today, it all had players that were somehow picked up, a new deal, Traore and Aubameyang, and all the moves that Barcelona made, you saw them today and the sort of impact that they have on this team. The first goal is not a Barcelona goal. A counterattack. It comes off a set piece that Napoli tried to do something fancy, doesn't quite work out, and now it's Aubameyang running with speed. Yes, speed. And now Traore running with speed. Yes, speed. And who's the overlapping run on the right-hand side? Jordi Alba. So a counterattack for Barcelona is something that we're not used to. And you think about the rest of the goals and how they happen. It's a long ball over the top. They win the second ball off of Ferran Torres, and it falls to Frenkie de Jong, who's supporting from the midfield. He scores the second goal. The third goal comes from a set piece and a second phase of a set piece. And eventually, Piqué scores that goal on the volley, which was important at that point in the game. And then the fourth goal is 1v1 situation on the speed of Traore and the finishing of Aubameyang. So again, I'll go back to what I said initially. January transfer window. Hey, Barcelona, we have criticized this club for making the wrong decisions time and time again. It seems, at least based on the evidence that we saw today against Napoli, that they made all the right decisions in this transfer window, and these guys are changing the way that Barcelona likes to play and gives this team variety in the attack.
Frank, were you impressed with Barcelona tonight?
I was very much so. And I don't care. I don't know where the team stands in the level of the best team in the world right now. But what I saw today really pleased me in the way that, you know, we've seen Barcelona being successful with the tiki-taka, you know, being quite slow but effective. And as Ali said, and I'm going to emphasize that, I saw counterattacks. I saw vertical games. I enjoy Traore. I enjoy Aubameyang playing counterattack. The pace of the game was great. They worked together. That was perfect. And Napoli lost the battle in the midfield, therefore lost the game. And there was no debate that Barcelona deserved that win and deserved to go through.
Is that a statement win, Jules? The fact that they did it at the Maradona Stadium as well against Napoli?
Yeah, I think so, because they haven't been really good away from home so far this season, certainly since Xavi has arrived. Yes, there was the win against Valencia, but before that, they drew at Espanyol. I think they lost to Granada. We've seen some not the same performances or not as good as the one that we've seen at the Camp Nou under Xavi, for example. And now to go away, okay, Napoli were poor from start to finish. And even the stats that we saw at the beginning of this segment, the numbers, even expected goals, don't actually reflect the dominance that Barcelona had and how much they were in control of this game from start to finish. It was very good without the ball. The defensive shape was great. Defensive transition were well controlled and covered, even if a couple of times Insigne or Osimhen managed to run in behind. But apart from that, I thought it was very, very impressive. And this is the kind of performances, again, that would bring momentum. Remember what Xavi said to his boys after the Atletico win? They said, oh, now no one will stop us. Well, Espanyol stopped them a few days later in a draw. But you get the idea. The idea is that they're clearly getting stronger and stronger, going from strength to strength. Everybody's learning. I thought the positioning and the distances between everyone tonight was spot on. And again, there will be tougher teams than this Napoli team that had a lot of players missing and was all over the place defensively, but they were all over the place defensively because Barca were just too good for them.
There may be tougher teams coming for them in this competition, but they are favourites, Xhaka, to win it all. Would you agree with that?
As we sit right now, yes. Just given what we've seen from Barcelona of late, given how this team has been on the ascendancy. And whereas you look at other teams there, Sevilla sitting higher than them in the table, Leipzig doing as well as they are in the Bundesliga, Barcelona are trending upwards, which is the one thing I don't think you can say about so many of the others, certainly on this list. And for all the criticism of Barcelona, particularly early on with Xavi, for all the questions that we've asked even over recent weeks, you saw answers to that. There's a lot you can be really pleased about if you're Xavi, if you're a Barcelona supporter. Pedri, goodness me, is a grown man playing in a teenager's body and controls the midfield as such. Over recent weeks, there's been discussion about Dembele and Traore and whether Dembele's got his spot back. Traore comes in, and the fourth goal sums up Barcelona and, as I described, trending upwards. When Traore gets on the ball, Napoli have to send two men out. And then we've been waiting forever for Aubameyang to get on the score sheet. And the finish for that fourth goal really was something special. I will say this, and we discussed Ferran Torres in the first leg. Outside of within two yards of the Napoli box, all of Ferran Torres' football I thought was exceptional. I thought his link-up play, his first touch, as soon as he gets anywhere near that box, though, his shooting is just all over the place. But his football gives you a lot. His football outside of that gives you a lot to build around with Aubameyang playing higher up. That is still the option. If Ferran Torres finds his shooting boots, this really is a Barcelona team that many have to sit up and take far more careful notice of.
Yeah, so he wasn't obviously too upset after this game as he was in the first leg. Ali, what's the priority then for Xavi in Barcelona? The Europa League or finishing top four in La Liga?
How about both? And how about winning one gives you the other as well? How about... Right now, Barcelona are looking at themselves and saying, yes, we are finding the best version of who we can be. Now, how do we maintain consistency? How do we maintain that level? And that becomes the question. Because there's been many moments in this Xavi era that we thought, okay, now, here's the moment in which they take off and they're unable to maintain, to sustain, to validate results. Well, the performances that we have seen over the last 10 days or so would suggest that this is a team that is ready to take off. And we keep talking about an upward trajectory. It feels that way. And you just see it in the players on the field, the confidence with which they're playing. And I agree with Shaq. You watch Pedri play, and man, you hope you were 18, 19 years old again and were able to play the game at that level, at that age. This kid is something special. And the confidence with which he's able to touch and take touches away from pressure, pass the ball away from pressure, and finding the spaces and the comfort level that he has with pressure on his back. And he's like, I don't even feel these people. I'm just going to find my passes. You're seeing a lot of that from a lot of players in Barcelona playing at a high level. Defensively, still got their questions. Ter Stegen wasn't very good today. He gave Napoli some life with that unnecessary penalty kick. But other than that, you finding a team that is truly getting better. Sometimes we throw that around for teams around the world, like, oh, they're getting better. Oh, they're improving. Barcelona is actually getting better. They're actually improving. The performances prove that, and then the results prove that as well.
Yeah, so all good stuff for Barcelona. As for Napoli, though, Jules, what does this result mean for them? Now they're out of the Europa League, they've got to put that full attention on the Scudetto, which is a bit like a hot potato, top spot right now in Italy.
Yeah, that's right. I think the thing we discussed on Monday night on the show was, okay, the game is against Cagliari, clearly Spalletti chose Barcelona in the priority, and he put some of the key players like Osimhen, for example, or Fabian on the bench for the Cagliari game. They dropped 2 points when they could have gone top of the table, which was a big disappointment. And now you ridiculed, really, because tonight they were so far away from Barcelona's level, and you're out of Europe. So you lost not everything, but you lost a lot in the space space of 1 week in those two games, Cagliari and Barcelona. Now you have to refocus again. There's a big game on Sunday, away in Rome against Lazio. Then is the clash with Milan at the Diego Maradona Stadium. So there's so many big games coming up. I was very disappointed on Monday night, and I was even more disappointed tonight by the performance I saw from Napoli and also from Spalletti. I don't think that was good enough from him. I don't think he prepared that game well enough. And it was exactly the same on Monday. And I thought, for me, they were favourite to win the Scudetto and to win Serie A. Now I'm not so sure anymore. I think psychologically, this is a huge blow for them. And if they don't win on Sunday at Lazio, and if they don't win against Milan the following weekend, I think they could be in big trouble and in free fall. And I think it would be between the two Milan clubs on who wins this Serie A title.
Yeah, the pressure on Napoli right now. But as for those who have progressed in the Europa League, with both of those ties being done, we know that Barcelona are one of them, of course. Borussia Dortmund are out. Rangers are seeing through their tie with them. Braga advanced on penalties, as you saw there. But another couple of notable ones are that Real Sociedad are out Leipzig match on the only German side left. And both of the Andalusian teams, Real Betis and Sevilla, are through as well. Porto with a big win over Lazio. Upcoming La Liga schedule for this weekend. It all gets underway tomorrow with Levante against Elche. And then we've got a double header for you on Saturday. Rayo Vallecano against Real Madrid, followed by Atleti against Celta. And then look through all the way to Sunday. You've got Barcelona against Athletic. That's a classic in La Liga. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Arsenal beat Wolves 2-1 after Wolves had gone ahead early. Arsenal managed to get the comeback with two late goals from Nicola Pepe and an own goal from Jose Sa. The win now puts them up to fifth in the table, 1 point behind Manchester United, having played two games less. Jules Laurent is with us. Does the manner of the win make it even more important for Arsenal, Jules, the fact it was a comeback?
That's right. It's all about the character tonight. Yeah, they played well at times. They could have scored more goals. We saw the expected goals at 2.5. You mentioned the chances for Lacazette. They hit the woodwork as well. But tonight, it's not even the way they played or if they played well or not. It's about the character, not giving up, scoring late again like they did against Crystal Palace earlier in the season. It's not every game you're going to score a goal like the one against Southampton where you build from the back. It's a one-touch passes and then you end up scoring a wonder goal. This is not always like this. And we've seen a lot in recent weeks. And again, even last night with Spurs away at Burnley, that right now, in that fight for that fourth place, it would be down to who has the most character, who is the one fighting the hardest, who is going to go and get those points that are not easy points at all to go, even if you don't play well, even if it's not your night, even if you go in a goal behind or two goals behind, manage to come back and win those games. And they did that tonight. And this is a huge win, considering the defeat from Spurs at Burnley, the fact that West Ham dropped points at the weekend. Okay, United won at Leeds, but it's huge. Tonight it's a really huge game and it could be a big turning point really in that fight for fourth place.
Frank, did Arsenal feel like a Champions League club again tonight?
It was a great game, you know, and they can go and they can dream about finishing in the first four because they have the mentality, they're going to fight until the end. And we saw that today again. And they've done what they have to do. Now, I don't know if they deserve to win because they attack more than Wolves who try to defend well. I have one question. I don't want to break Jules' enthusiasm about the win of Arsenal, his favorite team. But I was just wondering, you know, what would have happened if Mr. Atkinson didn't give a free kick for Arsenal when White was feinting a foul from Cody in a fantastic counter-attack. It could have been 2-0 for Wolves and the game would have been over. But Overall, I'm happy with what I saw from the Arsenal player. They never gave up. Pepe was outstanding when he came on. Lacazette was a real skipper, and they fought for the win. So let's say it's a very good win, and it's encouraging for the what's going to follow. But they have to sometimes stop making some silly mistakes like Gabriel did on the first goal.
Jules, he had to put a big butt in it there, didn't he, and rain on your parade. Would you like to respond to what he said?
No, I think he's right. There's as always, turning points in games, things that go your way when they could easily have gone the other way. And again, it could be a penalty on Martinelli early on and 0-0. And if Arsenal score that, it's a different game too. So we can always revisit all the games. And I think Frank is right, maybe, on that white foul on Cody. But I still think that the momentum that they have, and this is a young team. This is a team and a squad that don't have much depth, although Nketiah and Pepe combined very well for the first goal. But apart from that, you rely a lot on Odegaard and on Saka and on Lacazette, who is not really the most clinical of goal scorers, and on your back four as well. Tomiyasu has been out. Cedric Suarez is kind of deputizing, kind of okay-ish, let's put it that way. But yet, you still, if you have that mentality, and remember after the win at Wolves only 2 weeks ago when they're celebrating and that upset the Wolves players, it's not about upsetting other players when you celebrate loudly after a win. It's how much that win going away at Molineux and fought the way they did to get that 1-0 win at the time and defending well and at times feeling the pressure on but still managing to get the win. Tonight is the same. It's at home and it's a different kind of game, different scenario, but trust me, they would have celebrated that as much, as loud as they did the reverse game 2 weeks ago, because it's what this win means and how they went to get it that is the most important.
Yeah, obviously a big change in character, a huge mentality win there for them. Favourites now to finish in the top four?
Yes. And let me say this for a number of reasons. We could point at and talk about refereeing decisions and how that would have impacted the game. Both teams had chances to score early on or tie things up. That again would have changed many of the conversations and the balance of the game. I thought Wolves dominated early on, first half hour or so. I'll give them that. Then I thought Arsenal were the better of the two teams, and Wolves Wolves are in the position that they're in because they've been difficult to beat, because they've not given many opportunities up. Credit Arteta for the changes that he made, the attacking changes, bringing on Nketiah and Pepe. And then Arsenal score. And Pepe scores 8 minutes before the end. The referee plays 7 minutes, blows the game off on 97 minutes. So there's fully 15 minutes of football to play here. And while, as you look at the remaining games, for all those teams chasing top four, I think Arsenal's schedule is arguably the easiest. I think the draw between Arsenal and Wolves benefits Arsenal. I really didn't feel that the draw benefited Wolves in any way. But in that 15 minutes, between Pepe scoring and the final whistle, it was only Arsenal trying to win the game. They continued to press to look for that, to look for the winner. And they were rewarded for it. And given that mentality, and Jules spoke about the reverse fixture between these two, and that resolute defending that we saw, given that ending to this game today, I think we are seeing a character from an Arsenal team, and I said this a few weeks ago, that we've not seen for a few years. I think they have moved themselves firmly into pole position to finish fourth, to your original question.
So what has changed exactly, Jules? It can't be just a change in mentality, is it?
I think there's a big point, and I like the way you put it just after my answer earlier. It's that I think the mindset has changed, and I think Arteta was very insistent on it. At the training ground, for example, they've got those sort of messages, you know, that you put those words that about mentality, about strength, about togetherness, all that kind of stuff that sometimes you think, does that really matter? I think it does, especially again with young players, with a young dressing room. Yes, of course, you've got a few experienced players there, but it's a lot about the mindset, that winning mentality, that you go again, you don't give up, you go until the end, which is, I think, something they didn't didn't have under Unai Emery, they didn't have under Arsene Wenger in the later stage of his tenure at the club, and something that Arteta always wanted to bring in, that dressing room, and they've got that. Of course, there's other things. You know, I think tactically, again, the way they pressed and the way they played, we saw on the second goal, is still the ball moves well. And yet, at times, it's a bit sterile. And they've got, I think, to find another way, a bit more variety in the way they attack, a bit more verticality at times. Of course, without Tomiyasu and when Tierney is not on top form, I think you lack a bit of support from your two fullbacks. But I think they're on the right path. So certainly, and whether you like Arteta or not, whether you rate him or not, I think what he's installing into this dressing room is certainly the right message. Not just the mindset, also what they work on tactically, but it's coming together. It might not be enough this season to finish top four, although they really need that fourth place. And by the way, if they win the game in hand on Chelsea, they come 2 points behind your Blues, Frankie. So I think you could look a bit behind your back as well now.
He's taken that one, okay. There
I do.
One.
Look, I do.
Listen, you can hear more from Jules on the latest Gavin Jules podcast. He's with Nadim, and they do speak about the situation at Spurs and go in depth on Antonio Conte. Make sure to download that wherever you do get your podcasts. Chelsea against Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final coming up on Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern. Our coverage begins on ESPN Plus. Make sure to tune in for that. What a game it could be between these two sides. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Okay, a little more Europa League for you now. Rangers taking on Borussia Dortmund in the second leg in the Europa League. And this time, Borussia Dortmund once again come through with nothing. It is Rangers who progress after two goals from captain Tavernier. Jude Bellingham and Daniel Malen did score for Borussia Dortmund, but it was not enough. Haaland still not available, Jules. Is there any update on where he'll be going next?
Not yet, no. I mean, we heard Watzke, I think yesterday or the day before, saying that he expects Erling to make a decision very soon. I remember they put that sort of the deadline to him, and he told us he felt under pressure by the club. They seem to think at the club that he will decide very soon what he does. We know there's a few offers on the table already. We know the kind of clubs who are after him, that are after him. Manchester City is one, of course. Real Madrid is another one. PSG as well. I think a club like Manchester City, of course, and others. As our friend Jan Agerfjorta put it on Twitter in his best Spanish today, don't expect Erling Haaland. Just because Real Madrid want him to stay another season at Dortmund, that this is what he's going to do. I think I agree with Jan. This is a bit disrespectful from Real Madrid. If really they've asked him to stay one more year at Dortmund because they cannot sign him this summer in 2022, but would rather sign him in the summer 2023. That's not how you do things. So I fully expect Erling Haaland to now decide very soon where he wants to play next season. I very much doubt that he will be at Dortmund. And again, what we saw tonight at Rangers, at Ibrox, it's just not good enough from a Dortmund team. And if you're Erling Haaland, surely you want to go to somewhere where you're going to win trophies and those kind of games, and not really being crumbling under the pressure, the opposition, whatever it is, that makes you stumble on these kind of obstacles that a club like Rangers should not be for Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, Jan's been busy on Twitter, actually, Jules, because he also tweeted that this is now Borussia Dortmund out of the German Cup, out of the Champions League, of course, and now out of the Europa League. Just how disappointing a season has it been for them so far?
Hugely. Even if they will finish in the top four because they're 15 points clear of the team in fifth place. They might still finish second even, although I think Bayer Leverkusen can easily overtake them at some point between now and the end of the season. But the rest, as you said, is so disappointing, even shocking at times. To lose in the German Cup to a second division team, to lose in the Champions League in a group really that they should have easily finished in the top two positions ahead of Sporting without a doubt, and then to lose to Rangers, who are not a bad team, by the way, but Dortmund are a far better team with better players than what Giovanni van Bronckhorst has at Rangers right now. It's very disappointing. The defending is shocking. And the most shocking of all is that it looks like Marco Rose is not doing anything to improve the defending. I mean, Mats Hummels tonight is a shadow of himself, the shadow of the great player that he'd been at times, sometimes a long time ago. And the whole team overall, apart from Jude Bellingham, who really, this is a one-man team when Haaland is not playing. And if you're Jude Bellingham right now, you have to feel for him because he can't do everything by himself. And the rest of the team let him down, let the fans down tonight again, like they've done too many times this season.
Okay, thanks so much for being with us, Jules, and giving us your insight on what's going on at Borussia Dortmund. You can see Borussia Dortmund in action this weekend, of course, on ESPN+. Plus, they're up against Augsburg, who are in a relegation battle at the moment. So we'll see what happens in that game. Leipzig will be boosted after their progression in the Europa League when they take on Bochum, and it's Eintracht Frankfurt taking on Bayern. All of these games available on Plus. Oh, it is just the beginning. 2022 MLS season is upon us, and we have the predictions in from everyone. Ali Moreno going for NYCFC for the Supporters' Shield, but it's Seattle he's got winning the cup, and the MVP is Carlos Vela. Shaka, would you like to talk us through your prediction?
I'm a shameless Andrew Blake fan. Simple as that. I offer nothing else.
Yeah, Philadelphia for both, for Shaka there. And our boys from Football Americas, both going for... No, Seb going for Toronto for MLS Cup and Supporter Shield. Herc saying, like LA, that NYCFC will win the Supporter Shield, and it will be Seattle as well. Look at Herc and Ali agreeing on this one, although not on the MVP. Ali Moreno back with us to talk about this one. That sounds like a dog barking in the background there. Do they have their predictions too, LA?
No, here's the problem. The moment they heard Shaka say that he's just a shameless Andre Blake fan and that's it, that's his analysis, they got upset. They ran away. They said, I've had enough of this. Wait until they hear the power rankings. That's going to be quite a reaction.
All right, so let's talk through some of your predictions, Alan. I'd like to start with the defending champions, NYCFC, because when you see them and how they're set up, it looks as though it will be another strong year for them again. And it looks as though you agree with that by the fact that you say that they are going to go far again, but not quite far enough.
Well, that felt like a backhanded compliment type of setup there, Kay. Yes, they're going to have a really good season because, for no other reason, they've been able to keep this team together. This is a team that won MLS Cup, and they haven't lost out on some of the players that perhaps they were expecting to lose out on. Tati Castellano, who was highly rumored to go somewhere here and there and everywhere, hasn't gone anywhere, and so he's still at NYCFC. They had some needs defensively. They address that with Thiago Martins. He is going to be an important part of what they do in the center back position. And so a team that just won MLS Cup, that kept the core group together and has added pieces to that, you have to assume they're going to be very good in MLS 2022.
But you feel as though Seattle Sounders are going to be really good in MLS 2022. They've fallen short in recent years, Ali. So why have you got them getting it together this year? What's going to be the difference?
But the difference is that potentially you're going to have Jordan Morris and Nicolas Lodeiro healthy. This is a team that depends very heavily on the productivity of Jordan Morris and Nicolas Lodeiro. But guess what? Those guys did not have any sort of impact last season. Played very little and had very little productivity as compared to what they've done in the past. And yet, the Seattle Sounders somehow find themselves being second in the Western Conference and still a major player in Major League Soccer. It tells you that the core group for this team is very strong. So if you add Lodeiro to that mix and you add Jordan Morris to that mix, and then they also have the insurance policy of Albert Rusnak, who can come in and play the role of Lodeiro if Lodeiro is not available, It's another option that they can have in the attack. I think the Seattle Sounders is one of the most complete teams in MLS, and that's why in the end, eventually, they're going to make a long run in the playoffs and get into MLS Cup and win it. However, it is still February when you're asking me this question, and a lot of things can change.
That sounds like he's saying, okay, I might change my mind.
Yeah, sounds like Philadelphia and Andrew Blake.
Yeah, sounds like he might change his mind for that. I wonder if you'll change your mind on the MVP. Right now, Ale, you've got Carlos Vela.
I do. And while I have Carlos Vela, I also have to mention another important name here, and that's Cristian Arango. Cristian Arango came in mid-season for LAFC last year and kept them alive in the playoff race, single-handedly, scoring goals left and right, and he was the one hope that they had in the attack because Carlos Vela was nowhere to be found with injuries and what have you. So, if you think of Carlos Vela having a season in which he is motivated, he's healthy, he's fit, mentally engaged, and now he has a player alongside him like Cristian Arango, it sounds a lot like we have seen in the past from LAFC and Carlos Vela, Carlos Vela and Diego Rossi. How did that work out for both of them? Very well, in particular for Carlos Vela, who was explosive when he had another guy alongside him that could also score goals. Arango can do that for LAFC, and so Carlos Vela is going to benefit, and when it comes to scoring goals in this league, nobody better than Carlos Vela.
MLS's newest member is Charlotte FC. Are you excited to see what they can do, Shaka?
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's excited to see it. What can we expect from them, Ale?
Again, I'm surprised my dogs didn't bark on that one. Good job, Shaq. You're really participating in the show today. I'm going to address this question about the expectations of Charlotte by saying this. My wife, who's from Charlotte, loves the fact that there is a team now in the Queen City. And she's also bitter that this happened 10 years too late for me because she would have loved for me to have gone and played in Charlotte. The reason I'm talking about my wife when I talk about Charlotte is because I don't really want to answer the question as to what the expectations are for Charlotte because they're very slim to none. A team that for some reason have had difficulties putting a roster together. The coach himself, Miguel Ángel Ramírez, has been very vocal about this, and when the potential signing of Darwin Machís, Venezuelan international Darwin Machís, when that fell through, he had very strong words about the lack of sort of talent and potential that they have within that group. Well, isn't that sort of the job of the coach and technical director and the front office to put together a team, because this is from scratch, and yet you look at the roster across the board and you kind of go, I don't know where you get consistency. I don't know where you can compete. And yes, they're gonna get a lot of fans coming in and watch this team play because of the novelty factor. But at some point during the season, they're gonna have to be able to compete and compete with some sort of consistency, because that's a level that expansion teams are now judged by. A lot of expansion teams have come in and done well right away. That's what's expected of Charlotte. I don't know that in looking at the roster as it is currently put together, I don't see it. So let's go back to talk about my wife and how much she enjoys having a soccer team in Charlotte.
Well, there you go. Some trips to Charlotte. Maybe you can come in some of the Charlotte Gams as well, Ale. You can see Charlotte's in action against DC United. That's how things will get underway. But it's LA Galaxy taking on the defending champions, NYCFC, that we're looking out for on ESPN and ESPN Deportes.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd's Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/FC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. Stick around because the panel will be answering your questions on Extra Time. Frank and Ale will be with Shaka. We'll see what questions you put to us. Thanks so much for being with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Welcome into Extra Time. I actually don't have any questions, Shaka. So I was wondering if you'd like to do a little...
Let me see what's going on. Wait right here.
Meanwhile, I found some notes of Dan Thomas's, and Dan doesn't make a lot
there's
of notes.
There's nothing here.
There's nothing there. OK, we'll read them off the screen.
I found it.
Yay! Yeah, Dan, some strange little scribblings here.
Dan's a scribbler.
Yeah, he is a scribbler. Stick men and everything.
I don't know.
All right. Listen. We won't show you. We won't go into that.
Let's try not to figure out Dan's...
We'll welcome in Ale and Frank. Thanks so much for being with us, guys. All right. Ale, Xavi ball in full effect. Is Barca back for good, Ale?
Back to what? They're back in that they are going to win more games than they lose, and they're going to be consistently better than what they have been in the past. If that's your version of they're back, well, yeah, sure, they're back.
This is the Europa League. Listen, I enjoy the Barcelona performance, but it's the Europa League. So if we're talking Barcelona being back, we're a long way from Barcelona being back to what you expect.
Is it a Barcelona we're a lot more familiar with when we watch them play?
Well, a lot more than November or October. But still, listen, as I said on the show, there's a lot to get excited about, but it's Europa League if we're talking Barcelona here.
Now, remember that Frank is buddies with Aubameyang's dad. They go to the same gym.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
So the next question has to be for Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you seen him lately, Frank?
Ooh.
No, I didn't. I didn't see him since Pierre-Emerick signed for Barcelona. No.
Oh.
I'm sad.
Oh, well.
See, has he upgraded his gym? What's going on?
Maybe disappointing Frank. Frank, is Aubameyang better than Cristiano Ronaldo right now?
Who's that from? Aubameyang's dad?
Oh, what kind of question is that? My God. They don't play for the same team. They are not the same kind of player. They don't have the same age. To compare, it's absolutely impossible. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo is struggling because of the team that he plays for, because of his form right now. And Aubameyang is trying to settle down with a new club, and he's doing great, scoring goals. But I don't want, and absolutely not, compare the two players. I think there is no comparison whatsoever to be done between Ronaldo and Aubameyang, and you know what I mean.
Yeah, so the person who sent that in is called Just Chill, and it sounds like Frank is telling them to just chill with questions
just
like
chill,
that.
Just chill, just chill.
Right, Ale, next one for you. Who is the most important youngster on this Barcelona team? And who has the most potential of all the youngsters on this Barcelona team?
Pedri.
Yeah.
You don't just have to take Ale's word for it. Xavi himself said he is the most important young player in football right now.
It is. And you saw it last season. You saw it for Spain in the Euros and the Olympics. And you saw how he was missed because of how much he was used. And you see how good he is since he's been back. I mean, without question.
Okay, the guys are agreeing.
Well,
so
Kay,
far.
There's another one. There's another one, Kay.
Find them.
Kay, sorry. There's another one. Pedri.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's. Oh, well, you think it's the answer is Pedri then?
Maybe, quite possibly.
Okay. Shaka.
Yeah.
As a goalkeeper, lots of Ronaldo tonight. Shaka, as a goalkeeper, you see Ronaldo in his current form stepping in to take a free kick. Do you feel relieved and confident that he'll miss it? Is there any changes in your preparation based on who takes the free kick, like who is in your wall?
No, there's no change in terms of who goes in the wall. The one thing, Ronaldo, right now, if he's stepping up, I don't think he can go over the top of the wall and bring it back down as he used to. So there's even less of a reason for goalkeepers to cheat, as you see sometimes. So it makes a job in that regard a whole lot easier. But you know that every so often he is still capable of the incredible, and you just have to be prepared for that.
Frank, were you ever worried about losing your spot in the first team after a new signing?
No, it's Frank Leboeuf.
World Cup winner Frank Leboeuf.
Of course not. I have to say that chance to not being too worried, you know, when Marcel Desailly signed for Chelsea after winning the World Cup in 98, I pretty much knew that I had to play alongside him, so I wasn't too worried. I only been worried about John Terry coming up, but he was already at the club, so he wasn't a new signing. But I felt that it was a time for me to leave before he kicked me out of the field. So I went.
Good idea.
Fair enough. Ale, obviously as a striker, this is a bit different because I feel that there's obviously a lot of competition. Did you have a situation like this?
With a lot of competition?
When a new signing comes in and you're a bit fearful for your place?
Oh. Well, Kay, just showing up in the locker room for me was a reason to be fearful. Anybody who had a semblance of a pulse to score a goal was a threat. And so... for me, it was going to be about character and personality and leadership and a presence in the locker room, but it wasn't going to be about scoring a whole bunch of goals.
Oh, poor Ale. All right.
Don't feel sorry for him.
Did you ever have a situation?
No,
of course. As a keeper, it's even worse because you know when another keeper shows up, you know exactly where he's playing. So I knew.
Never thought of it that way.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's not like he's going to
play left wing.
They're going to play left hand side of the goal. I'll play on the right. You play left hand side of the goal. Newcastle. When Shea Given came in, you knew. But that was under Kenny Dalglish, who managed him at Blackburn. Yeah, I knew. That wasn't a surprise. And then at West Ham, when Glenn Roeder became manager, he actually called me in the office and said, "I'm signing David." He said to me, "I'm signing David James. I don't expect you to play this season. This is the first day of preseason." I'm like, "Oh, well, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a great season." So again, the writing was on the wall there. I had at Portsmouth, Harry signed about two or three goalkeepers. I never felt under threat. I kind of knew they were coming in as number two. And then Harry left and there was this Zerkias or something like that, signed this Greek goalkeeper, Chalkias. And honestly, I was not worried. This man was barely coordinated. And I got dropped for him, honestly.
Chaka, that sounds like you're bitter.
I am still bitter. I have no problem with getting dropped for Shea Given. None for David James. Chalkias could barely run in a straight line without falling down. I'm bitter.
So tell me, in a situation like that, when you still have to train with them, how is it? Is it awkward?
Oh, well, first of all, he wouldn't speak to me at all. So I kind of clocked early on, like, you know, everybody comes in and, you know, just say morning to whoever, and everybody's like, "Hey, Shaka," and you say, like, I'd say, hey, what was his name? Was it? I think it was Costas or something. I'd say, hey, Costas, and he wouldn't even say good morning. So I would say, no, this become my. This was this was the funniest thing to me. This was great. So every morning I would come and I go, hey, Costas, as loud as I could, and he would just totally blag me. And when I was leaving, I'd make sure I'd go and see him. He would just totally blag me. It was the most awkward thing ever. Wow. It was awful. It was, but I made fun of it. It was good. That was fun. Yeah.
I'm glad I asked you.
I'm not bitter at all.
nobody enjoys being on the bench like Shaka does.
Yeah. I'm bitter and laughing. It was great.
All right. Frank, should more big clubs around Europe have gone after Dusan Vlahovic? Only one team can win the Haaland sweepstakes. And Dusan has shown to be a goal machine. I know Arsenal tried. Among the title contenders, certainly someone should have made a move to get him in January, right?
Who? I didn't get the question. Who has to get who? You know, it's too long. The question was too long.
Okay. Should more big clubs in Europe have tried to get Dusan Vlahovic?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think he's a real talent, that he showed it, and it was sad in a way to not see too many competition between clubs, different big clubs, to hire him. But it is what it is, and he will have to confirm. And if he does, he will have, you know, a panel of fantastic clubs on his knee and on their knees to make sure that they want to hire him. He's a pure talent. He's a goal scorer, and I think he's going to seduce many, many clubs.
He is good. I thought the sentiment was Fiorentina was going to wait till the summer. Thought everybody thought he's going to move in the summer, and there's going to be a bit of a bidding war. I thought Juventus did really well in securing him in January, before that bidding war started, because I think if it waited till the summer, as much as everybody's got in for Haaland, he was right behind, and any number of clubs would have been interested.
Imagine that, Ale, Dusan Vlahovic walking into the dressing room as the new signing.
You could have put on some gloves and come to Pompey.
When I was listening to Frank talk about Dusan Vlahovic and says that he's going to seduce many clubs, I don't think ever in the history of my illustrious career anybody, anywhere, actually characterized me as a player who would seduce anybody. I mean, honestly.
I feel like there's a broader confession here, Ali. I feel like there's something else you want to tell us. Well, I don't know. I feel like this is getting a little personal.
Therapy FC.
I got a seductive personality, Shaq.
We do. Like a hole in the head.
I love you. I love you, Ali. I love you, Ali. You're seducing me right now.
Okay.
It's the first time for everything.
If you could be a part of the team for any one of these moments, which would you pick? Leicester's 2015-16 title win, Liverpool's comeback in the 2005 Champions League final, Aguero's last-minute goal versus QPR, or Solskjaer's winner in 1999 to clinch the treble for Manchester United?
Oh, man.
No.
I am going to say Man United to clinch the treble. I think if we're just talking... Because this wraps up the package. So, but if we're just talking about Manchester United winning the Champions League with all the other two trophies in as part of that package, I think Leicester's would be the most exciting dressing room to be a part of.
Because then it's a whole season as well.
Yeah, it's a whole season and the whole under and everything about it. But I just feel.
Well, then Manchester United.
Yeah, there's something indescribable about about the treble, you know, and as much as it was the last minute goal, it was about it's about the treble, which is why I'm making a distinction as opposed to winning the Champions League as a one-off. If you're taking it as a package of the treble, I'll go with that one.
Okay. What? Was that you, LA?
I don't care about Shaka's distinctions and whether the treble makes a difference or not. The historic part of Leicester has to be far more significant than the treble of Manchester United. Manchester United winning the treble would be something to be expected. Leicester winning the Premier League
was never to be expected. Winning the treble is not to be expected.
That's the locker room that you want to be a part of.
All right.
No.
Winning the treble is not to be expected.
I don't agree.
Frank, what would you agree.
I would have loved to be on the field when Aguero scored the last second goal of the last second of the Premier League game. I mean, the feeling must have been absolutely fantastic. You live a football life, a footballer life, for that kind of momentum where everything gets crazy because of one action of one of your teammates. Aguero moment for sure for me.
All right, none of you went for Liverpool's comeback in 2005 when they actually heard Milan in the dressing room
celebrating at halftime.
Yeah. Stevie's not on the show, that's true. Guys, thanks so much for your questions. Thanks for sending them in. And thanks for all the panelists for being with us. Make sure you join us tomorrow. We'll be back doing exactly the same and talking more football because we are available every single day here on ESPN FC.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.